Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Will you receive Minister Natasha Cobb tonight? Come on, put your hands together like this.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Anybody else out there chasing after God? Because we can be chasing after gold, after silver, after fame and fortune. But somebody said, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? But we thank God today that we're chasing after him. If we chase after him, amen, we will find him. And when we find him, we will have what we need for this life and for the life to come. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so excited tonight for another day that God has spared our lives, another day that we have seen that we have never seen before and we'll never see it again. Amen. We thank God for what he's doing. Amen. He woke us up this morning, started us on our way. Amen. Had us to go out and come in safe. Hallelujah. Without trouble, sin. Hallelujah. Or danger. We thank God for the danger unseen that we came through, that we didn't even see, the accident that we didn't even see happen to us. But God shielded us. He protected us and he kept us. So we thank God tonight for his presence, his power, his provision. Hallelujah, and his presence being with us tonight. Amen. We thank God for my wife. We thank God for just another time, amen, for us to be able to bring this broadcast to you so you can hear a word from God. This is not a form or fashion, but it's for you to get a word from God that you're going to need on tonight or tomorrow and even at a later date. Amen. We pray that what you hear tonight would energize you, inspire you, and encourage you to press on, amen, and let God have his will and way in your life. Mm-hmm. Amen. We are Assistant Pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International, which is located in Stockbridge, Georgia, 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge. Amen. We are international. Amen. We are around the world. Amen. And we are led by Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. Amen, is the co-founder, and we are also have an awesome dynamite senior pastor, Bishop Kevin J. Jones, and we thank God for everything that God is doing with us and through us. Amen, and we're trusting the transition, amen, because God is on the move, and he's moving us. Amen, and we are willing, amen, if we fall in his will and let his will be done, amen, he will move us to where we need to be. Amen, so we thank God for you and especially you, a faithful with our listeners who is on tonight. We thank God for you, amen, being with us, amen, down through the years and encouraging us, amen, as we let God use us. In Light of the World, we have Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We have it in person, and we have it on YouTube and our website, comingtothelight.org. And we also have a 10 o'clock service, amen, which is a power anointing experience, not really a service, but an experience with God. And then on Wednesday, we have noonday Bible study. Amen. We're studying the book of Romans. Amen. I'm telling you, some deep stuff is in Romans. We're in Romans, the second chapter, and may we, I think we got the verse 1 and 2.
Yes,
amen. But God is really using, amen, his people, and we are searching out the scripture that we can get a good understanding, and we know how to live this life. Amen, pleasing to God. So if you get an opportunity to tune in for during lunchtime, 12 o'clock, you can call in this same number right here. Amen, and you can participate in our Bible study. And also at 7 p.m., we have the man of God who is teaching us, amen, Bishop Kevin Jones, amen, teaching us at 7 p.m. So those are the services we have. We have different things coming up, amen, and we want you to support us. And we want you to Butterfield Ministries, worldwide.com. Go to our website. Support us. Amen. We've been doing this for broadcast for 11 years. Amen. And God is faithful, and he is really allowing us to do what we do. Amen. By his grace. And all we want to do is to make sure that the word of God get out to the people of God so people could be encouraged and inspired. And those ministers who have their gifts, they can have a place to use their gifts. Amen, to let God use them in a mighty way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that's all for me. There's been no more announcements. Amen. We are waiting, amen, patiently for the word of God from the man of God. Amen. And, the men's Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. in room 205. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday, men's Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. in room 205. Please come and share with us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So right now, without further ado, we're going to bring the man of God to you. Amen. And this is none other than Minister Joseph Jones. You are now live on the air.
Good afternoon. Oh, should I say good evening.
How you doing?
just fine. We bring you greetings from the Jones family, and we thank God for this opportunity to come to Light broadcast tonight. And again, we thank God for the Butterfields, Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which is our sister pastor, right as well. We thank God for you all for doing what you're doing. Again, 11 years is not nothing to sneeze at, because it takes more than just, you know, being able to bring a message, but being used by God is a very important thing. And so tonight we just want to give God praise for the word that's coming forth. I know there's always no accident of what God has given me to bring forth to the people. And as if anybody out there knows that if you have spoken or have been a licensed minister or a minister or spoken from God's word, it always starts with you. And tonight it's a word from the Lord that everybody can use this word. And we'll be taking from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 1 and verse 6. The whole chapter is going to be about this one word we're going to talk about, but we're going to use these two verses to highlight this words for tonight. And then after we read, we'll have a word of prayer and then move forward. We just thank God for tonight for allowing the people that are being here tonight to listen, and we hope that they'll get a word. We'll be reading from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1 and verse 6 out of the King James Version. And it reads as follows. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this time right now, God, that you allow us to partake in your word. And Lord, we thank you right now for the Butterfields. We thank you for those who had any part of this broadcast tonight, Lord, to make it as possible. And Lord, we just ask you to bless those who are listening tonight, Lord, that they took time out to hear your word, for Father, and give them a special blessing for their time, oh God, and not just listen to the messenger, but listen to the message. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that if you use me as the lips of clay, God, that I will hide behind you, that your word will be spoken through me, and the Holy Spirit will use me, and I speak with power and authority in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. We give you the honor, praise, honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, if you don't know by now, the key word is faith. So tonight, I'd like to use for a subject, where is your faith? Is your faith locked up in the storage room? Is your faith locked up in the bank? You know, where is your faith? Let's be honest. We have more faith in Amazon, UPS, FedEx. deliver our package on time. We place an order and don't even look at the time, or don't even worry about when it's going to be delivered, because they give us a stamp date and time and say it's going to be delivered by Monday at about 12 o'clock. And we believe in them. And so we also go to work, and we'll put in 48 hours on a pay period for our employer, and we trust and believe that when it's payday, our wages will be correct. How much faith do we put in them? And then we turn around and make deals with completely strangers. You know, we go on Craigslist and Amazon, eBay, and all these other places, and we send them our money and make money transactions and for product we haven't seen yet. And all we do is looking at their ratings to see if they got 5 or 4 stars to be thinking that they're trustworthy, but we have faith in them to deliver what they have said they will deliver. But when it comes to God and his word and his promises towards us, we have a hard time believing what Jesus said. I want to tell you something. Houston, we have a problem. See, the question is, where is your faith? If a parent told their child what they were going to do for them for their birthday or for Christmas, you best believe that child has no doubt that their parent would come through. So in the same mind frame of a child, we as Christians should have that same childlike faith in Christ. See, when we refer to childlike faith or faith like a child, that has the mindset of sort of things that Jesus said to us in Matthew 18 chapter, verse 33, or you look at Mark chapter 10, verses 14, and Luke chapter 18 and verse 7. In all these scriptures, it teaches us that the kingdom of heaven belongs to the children of God. They truly believe what God says. And I really believe the reason why we, now watch this now, I really believe the reason why we don't trust God and don't have great faith in him is because, again, watch this, because we don't get everything we want or we don't receive everything we ask for when we want it. In other words, if God don't deliver on our timetable, we ain't believing nothing he says. And that's truly same fact. And I'm just being honest because we can sit there and we can look. We can tell you, I guarantee you, if you will put the cube on everybody on this call tonight and ask them what time their mail comes, they can tell you between 12 and 1, or they'll tell you between 2 and 3. They know exactly what time their mailman arrives at their house. They have no faith, they have no doubt what time that person is going to show up because they have seen it. But we got to go back to the scripture, though. Hebrews chapter 11, verse first. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Here we go. The evidence of things not seen. See, the book of Hebrews it talks about numerous patriarchs in the Bible who had tremendous faith. And the word faith means a strong belief in or a trust of someone or something. And then it says a complete, listen to the words they use in the dictionary. It says a complete confidence in a person or plan. How many of you know that God has a complete, perfect plan for our life? And we need to have confidence in him.
Amen.
So listen, I want to give you three types of faith basis the principle the world uses. The world uses these three types of faith. It's called refining faith, contractual faith, and reoccurring faith. Well, Brother Jones, what do these three mean? Okay, defining faith is from a natural point of view, is knowing, for example, watch this now, when you pay your electric bill, you know you have lights and electricity. See, this is a systematic faith, meaning that the system works when you follow instructions. Pay attention to what I'm saying now. Contractual faith is when you agree to something written or followed through. And then reoccurring faith is when you repeat the same process and receiving the same results. Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to apply these same rules that the world gives us and use it in a spiritual and a righteous way. And we can get the same blessings, but only from God. Watch this. See, spiritual systematic faith in the spirit, it only comes when you following God's instructions. Spiritual faith is a belief or confidence or attitude towards God involving commitment to his will for your life. See, in other words, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we don't see it. That's spiritual faith. Mm-hmm. Contractual faith in the Spirit of God tells us if we read his word that is written in the book of life, we shall reap the benefits, watch this, if we follow through. See, that's the contract. God is saying the contract is what the word says. And if you follow the word, you will reap the benefit, only if you follow through. And then reoccurring faith in the Spirit of God is showing us that the promise of God was activated by faith in past time, which will surely repeat itself in the future. In other words, what God did back then, he'll surely do right now. Let's look at the verses that we have in front of us. Hebrews, the first chapter, I mean 11th chapter, the first verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is an assurance and realization, confidence, expectation of things hoped for, and the conviction of all proof, revelation of things not seen. We can also use the word hope or believe in the place of faith. The word hope and faith can be interchangeable. Just look at Romans 8, 24 and 25. It makes it clear. It says, for we are saved by hope. What is hope? It's faith. But hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we wait patiently for it. See, a lot of times we understand that we can take faith, hope, and belief and just intertwine those three because of the fact that we don't see everything that we believe. And we don't believe everything we see. Because, you know, people say that before. I don't believe that. You just saw it. I don't know why we say stupid stuff like that. I don't believe everything I see. Yeah, you saw it? I mean, just plain. But a lot of times God wants us to understand that everything that we don't see, we still should have faith for it, faith in it, if it comes from his word. Look at verse 2. It says, for by the elders obtain a good report. And he said, and what is it? He said, look at the three words it said. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. What is it? It is faith. A strong belief and trust of someone or something. Who's that someone? It's Jesus Christ. A complete confidence in that person. Who's the person? Jesus Christ. And what is his plan? His eternal life for you and your life. So then, look, verse 3 is talking about faith again. And all these verses in chapter 11 is talking about faith. See, if you look at it, how it's written, verse 3 talks about how the world was formed. The scriptures are telling me that the world was made by God through his word and not the Big Bang Theory. So we get it wrong. He said his word was made through his word. And see, if you don't believe that, go back to Genesis, the first chapter, verses 1 through 25. It'll show you. But that's the understanding that through faith we understand that God created the world. We don't believe all this other stuff. And see, in verse 4, look at Abel. Abel, by faith, offered up an excellent sacrifice to God because it was from his heart. And wonder why Cain didn't get the blessing, because he did it from his heart. And then look, later years, God is still having people speak about Abel's faith. Ain't that amazing? I said, all these years. Go down to verse 5. Look what Enoch did. Enoch believed, he said, by faith, Enoch pleased God. Therefore, God said he would not see death. Enoch was transformed because he believed in God. And then we go into verse 6 again. Verse 6 says, but without faith. See, without this, the instructions tells you it's impossible. That mission impossible. But it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look at the contextual plan of God here. He said you have to believe that he is, and he's going to reward them that who diligently seek him. That's the plan. Mm-hmm. You can even look at Romans 8 and 8. He said, look at this. Romans 8 and 8 says, so them that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, Bishop Jones all the time, he said you can be suicidal and praise God at the same time. Well, you can't be in the flesh and in the spirit at the same time. You got to be one or the other. God said you're going to be for me or against me. You know, you can be hot or you're cold. See, the thing is we don't understand is that God has wrote this thing out so plainly that we can understand it if we don't try to be in flesh and try to figure it out. You know, the amazing thing to me was when Noah, in verse 7, when God told him to do something, and he never seen rain before. By faith, God put it in no heart to move with fear to prepare ark. Now, you know more. You know Noah was no sailor. Noah was on the earth. He just, look, that's like telling a kid that's 12 years old to go build a spaceship and go to the moon.
That's right.
I mean, look what God told Noah to do. He said, build an ark. What is an ark? And Noah moved with faith. And see, you know, that's like telling the person, listen, I need you to be an astronaut or airplane pilot, and they're scared of heights. And you tell me I'm going to have to do this? I got to take that by faith. You saw that in me? I got to take that by faith.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can't get to a certain point without having faith.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe or have some type of hope
mm-hmm.
that's going on in your life
mm-hmm.
To move on what God is telling you to do. It has to be rooted down inside you because, you know, just telling me sometimes ain't going to get me there. You know, we can tell people all the time, man, you're the best thing since sliced bread or the microwave. Or you know, you can play basketball. But if we don't have that belief in us or God has put that in us, inside of us, we're not going to believe it. And especially when we have falters and we have doubts of things going the wrong way and don't seem like it's working out for our favor. How can you tell a person that's scared of heights to get on a ladder and change a light bulb? He has to have faith that he can do it. I'm just trying to make this thing so plain and simple because a lot of times we get it mixed up because people just say we got natural talent. We just do it. No, God has given us faith.
Uh-huh.
Yes, God's given us talent. Yes, God has done these things for us, but we got to have faith in God to believe what God said about our life. Verse 8. And verse 17 goes together. We're talking about Abraham here. He got the faith that Abraham left his family and his country to follow God's path and offered up his own son, Isaac, to God as a living sacrifice. You got to have faith for somebody to tell you, listen, pick up your whole family, Butterfield, all 28 of y'all, and move from the Bahamas to Georgia. And you don't know, you ain't got a job. You ain't never been to the States before. You know, you just did it because God said it. And then when you got there, you say, you know what? God said, Butterfield, I want you to take Stephen Jr. and lay him on the altar. And I want you to sacrifice for him. You got to have faith to raise your hand up.
The blood of Jesus.
Because see my former pastor told me something about that one thing about Isaac being a sacrifice when Abraham took him up to the top and being a sacrifice. God said to him, either God is going to make him a father of many nations. Well, how can God do that if he killed his only son? He is. Either God was going to do one of two things. Either God was going to raise him from the dead, or God was going to give him another son. See,
we just
read these scriptures and we don't look at them, but when we get spend time with God and get in depth in them, God will show us a new thing. How can you be a father of many nations if your son is dead? But Abraham had faith. I told the story one time before. My dad was out chopping wood, and he had a sledgehammer in his hand, and he told me to take that splinter and hold it and put my hand on top of it while he busted wood up. The wedge. He told me to hold the wedge with it on top of it. Now, why would my dad tell me to put my hand on top of the wedge instead of the side of the wedge? But if I ain't had no sense but to trust God. And I trust him. That he would not do anything. So when I did it, my dad raised back the sledgehammer and came down and stopped. And he asked me, he said, son, don't you know if I would have hit your hand with that wedge holding the wedge, I would have smashed your hand? He said, why did you move it? And you know what I said to him, Buffett? I think I was about 12 or 10 years old. I know I was young. I said, because God trusted you would not hurt me. I trusted my father that he would not. That's trust.
Yes.
That he would not tell me to do something that it would hurt me. So what I'm telling you tonight, people of God, that God will not tell you anything to hurt you. If you trust
That's
in
right.
him and you have faith in him and you believe and have hope in him, he will direct you just like he did Abraham. He said, get up early in the morning and come. Verse 9 and verse 20. Isaac believed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He laid his hands on them and blessed them. Told them, said, listen, these things are going to happen. And they believed God for it. Look at Sarah in verse 11. Sarah received strength to conceive a son in her old age. You're 140 years old, you have a baby. You can't, that's faith.
And bad.
You know, we got people now, if years old, don't want to have no baby. You talking about 99 or 90 years old? See, that's the thing about it. If we are in the Spirit of God and not in faith, not in flesh, we can do anything. Look at Mark. I think it's Mark 37 or 137. I can't exactly remember. I know it's Mark 37 verse. He says, there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Joseph, in verse 22, talks about Israel leaving Egypt. How did Joseph know about that? He had faith in God. He seen Israel was going to be fleeing from Egypt. And then go back to verse 23 and 25. By faith, Moses' parents believed in God's protection over their son and refused it and put Moses in a basket and put him down the river. You know, Moses took the first baby cruise. He took the first baby cruise in the Nile River and went down, and his parents believed God that he would be protected. And when Moses got old enough, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, knowing that he could have been killed for rejecting them as their son. But Moses had faith. And the Bible says that Moses would rather die than have a season of pleasure being in the Pharaoh's house. He had faith. And then look at verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now you know.
Yeah.
If God told 300 Negroes to walk around a wall and don't talk, you got to have faith now. Now, come on now. Anybody who taught school. Let's dig into this thing. Anybody who taught school. No, you can't keep 30 kids in the classroom quiet. You talking about 300-400 people?
Yeah.
Walking around a wall seven times? First, it's hot out there. You're walking, and you can't talk. By faith, the wall of Jericho came down because God said it.
Yeah.
And he believed it. And it came down. And my last verse, look at Rahab and her household was saved by hiding the spies. She took it by faith that God was going to bless her because she took the men of God and took care of them and hid them from the government. In all these different situations, God is showing his faithfulness to us and to his people through his word. The question is, are we faithful to God?
All right. Amen.
20 and 30 and 31 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. And I'm going to stop right there for a second. The Bible said he did a whole bunch of signs that weren't written in the book. And we worried about the lost scrolls. We can't even get these 66 books right. We're talking about looking for some stuff that's lost. I don't understand where people come up with this foolishness from sometimes. And the Bible said God did so many things that he did in the presence of the disciples that weren't even written in the book. So we can't even read. We can't even get what's right in the book. We worry about stuff missing out the book. But it says these are written that we might believe. There go that word again, believe. Hope, have faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. Now, that's faith being put to action, if we just understand. See, we know money answers all things, and obedience will clear the way of distractions. And we know love covers a multitude of sin. But when it comes to faith, watch out now. See, faith will take you further than favor, because when favor runs out, faith kicks in. Oh, that sounds so good.
Amen.
I'll say that one more time. Faith will take you further than favor. But when favor runs out, faith will kick in. See, the Bible says in Galatians 6 and 9 that you can run and not be weary from well-doing. Don't worry about what's going to happen.
In other words, when things stop going your way, when that's favor. When things stop going your way or stop you start receiving all that you want, favor, will you continue being faithful unto God? See, when faith is applied, you don't wonder how the end is going to be or how a particular situation is going to work out, because you trust in the Lord that he will work it out on your behalf. See, favor appears suddenly. Favor appears immediately. Favor appears right on time. But faith comes after when you suffer a while, and when you don't see your way out, and when all your friends forsaking you. See, faith shows up when you don't have, when patience run out. And faith energizes your spirit when your body and mind is depleted. See, that's what faith does for you. See, faith is good now. Oh, don't get me wrong. I want some favor now. I love some favor. But that faith, oh, my goodness. You got faith. You know, you can do some things. You can be praying for something. And favor does not have to deliver it. But faith will keep you going until the blessing manifests itself to you. That's faith.
Amen.
See, that's remember this old song, y'all? James Cleveland. Y'all remember James Cleveland? He wrote a song, Where Is Your Faith in God?
Yeah.
And James said there were two men having a conversation. There was a man and a Christian man. And the man said, I've been sick. And the Christian man said, well, tell me about it. And you don't think you're going to get well? And the Christian man said to him, he said, where is your faith? Where is your faith in
Where's
God?
Where is your faith?
Huh? And then the man said again, he said, you know what? I'm in trouble. And the Christian man said to him, said, well, tell me about it. He said, are you going to court next week? And the Christian man said, where is your faith? Where is your faith in God? But the man didn't stop there. He said, you know what? I'm out of work. And the Christian man repeated to him again, said, tell me about it. He said, I know. All your bills are due? He said, but where is your faith? Where is your faith in God? He said, I got some bad habits, the man said. And the Christian man said, tell me about it. He said, you think you're a hoop and you can't get free? He said, where is your faith? Where is your faith in God? And then lastly, the man said, I'm out of money. And the Christian man repeats again and said, well, tell me about it. You think you're down to your last dime? He said, where is your faith? Where is your faith in God? In every statement the man made about how bad his situation was, the Christian man asked him the same question over and over again. Where is your faith in God?
Mm-hmm.
See, we're worried about the trouble, and we're not worried about the problem solver. We're looking at the incident, but we're not looking at the person who can solve it for us. And so we're thinking about all the time what we're going through, and we're not thinking about God has already took care of this problem for us and our situation for us. So the question is, where is your faith? What I'm saying to you tonight is that whenever a problem shows up, don't start to wonder how the outcome will turn out. Just remember Hebrews chapter 11, the first 31st verse, where we see the proof positive and reassurance that God will be faithful to his word. What he did for the saints in the past, he can do the same for the saints of today.
Amen.
So I want you to encourage tonight, knowing God has sent his son Jesus as a promise to show the world we are victorious in him and not victims of the world. The last scripture I'm going to give you is Habakkuk 2 and 4. It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith.
Okay.
My question is you tonight is, what are you living by? Are you living by what you think or what you know? Or are you believing on God's word by his faith, your belief and hope in him? Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. We have to understand, y'all, that we can only go so far with favor, all these other things. But we can reach our max potential when we have faith. The Bible says simply in verse 6, But without faith, it's impossible to please him. We got to have faith. We got to have faith. We have to believe what God's word says. We have to have hope in his word, knowing that God is a man that he not, that he could lie, not the son of a man, that he can repent, that he should repent. We have to trust what God says, and his word is true. Tonight, all I want to ask you one more time, where is your faith?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Where's your faith? I tell you, that's awesome. That's a good question out there in radio audience. That's a good question. I know we really thinking about that and pondering over that word, where is your faith? Because a lot of times it just seems like we don't have no faith at all concerning certain things, especially when things get a little hard and you want that thing to work out quickly and it's not working out quickly, but it's not our timing. It is God's timing, and we need to have faith and believe that God is going to work it out. So you said defining faith, right? Defining faith?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and reoccurring. So it is very important that we remember these faith and also know that having faith in God is spiritual. So that spiritual faith of knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above anything that we could even ask or think. And then, Minister Jones, when we was created, God didn't shortchange us because he gave every person a measure
yes.
of faith. We all have a measure of faith. And so can't nobody say, well, I don't know. I don't have no faith. We all have some faith. But the thing is that we have to study God's word. We have to trust God. And we have to allow God to do what he wants to do in our lives so that our faith can mature, so it can grow. And we need to learn from the last thing that happened in our life. And you mentioned something about things happening beforehand, and now it's happening again today. Whatever the situation is, it may not be the same as before. But guess what? God knows how to bring us out of every situation and circumstance. So if we'll put our faith in him, he will surely bring us out. Now, we want to hear from those of you out there in radio land tonight. We want you to press 1 on your phone, and we're going to bring you live on the air so that you can speak to Minister Jones, or if you want prayer, or if you want to elaborate on the word. And so we have 1 in queue. First 3 digits is 757, and the last 4 digits is 2869. You are now live on the air.
Bro Jones.
What's up, Dad?
Hey.
How you
man,
doing,
I tell you. I tell you, man, you're going to town. You're telling it just like it is. You're telling it just like it is. And I want to add to it. You can't. You got to have, if you want to make it for God, you got to have faith, because, like you say, faith is staying unseemable. You got, you know, and then I add to it, too. I tell people faith is fine. You got to have it, but then you need a little patience. Well, some people don't have patience. You got faith, but it don't work fast enough, and because they don't have patience, they get tired, and they go back and try to do it themselves. And that's when they lose something, they're showing up.
Yeah.
That's so, right.
Keep the good works up. You're doing wonderful. I tell the people about you all the time. I said, that's going to show you God's word is true. If first going to be last, last be first. I say, Joe, I always call. I say, I feel like I have more problem with him trying to get him where he at and the rest of them. I said, but that guy going to pass all of them. I said, what I was looking for to carry on God's word was Tyrese. Because he was a scholar in the church, but he see, like to me, it didn't happen that way. And then put the mind of David, went to look for it to make him a king, and everyone to bring up all the rest of the brother, they said, no, they ain't the one. He said, well, it can't be David. David little, I call him little
right.
bug boy. Little bug boy. He don't know nothing. He out there feeding a pig in the hole. He said, well, go get him. Go get him. Anyway, let me see. And as soon as he comes in the door, he said, yeah, that's him. That's the one. That's the one.
That's the one.
Yeah. So that's where life goes. But thank God for y'all. Y'all doing wonderful. Keep on keeping on. Sometimes don't look like you're doing nothing, but don't worry. Yes. If one gets saved about this whole world, God is going to bless you for that one. He said, more joy one Amen. Is all the 99 he got. So y'all
yes.
don't
yes.
want that. And we most of us listen to you every Saturday night, but we don't try to take up too much time. Just might as well. But don't think we ain't listen. We listen. Because I just praise God. I got a son that loves the Lord and got a daughter-in-law that loves the Lord. Especially young people. Most
Amen.
Times young people ain't got time for nothing but the devil. But thank God for
That's
y'all.
Right.
And keep on and you'll have my prayer. And Pastor told me that she would call her, let you know Sister Lily Harbour about her going on. And so, you know, Paul wife. And
Yes.
So y'all to keep a good work up and keep preaching it. And who knows? Sooner or later, that a lot of going to tell you, Brother Jones, you might not know I was listening, but I listened, and the word followed on me and found me, and I gave my heart to God, and that's to tell you true with you sometimes. But, yeah. Okay,
yes,
then I'll let you go. Somebody else might want to say, but
like okay.
Saying,
okay.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Always
good to hear your voice.
Thank you
yes.
so much.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
We appreciate you.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing that, you know, you said it, that we all have faith.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is who we have faith in.
Because
mm-hmm.
we
right. all believe in something. But the problem is, and your dad said it rightly, if you don't have patience, then you're going to shift your faith into something else.
Uh-huh.
Because we know how to pray,
mm-hmm.
and so when we pray believing God's gonna do it. But when it don't happen when we want it to happen,
yeah.
then we shift our faith now to okay, I got to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all have faith, but one of the scriptures that if we want to trust God is Proverbs 3:5-6, and really break that down. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, meaning all your emotions, everything that you, your will, everything you got, trust in the Lord with everything you got, and lean not on your own understanding. Because sometimes the way we see things ain't the way it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And so lean not to your
That's
own
right.
understanding. And then he said, in all your ways, not some of your ways. See, we do good with some of the ways we can trust God.
Mm-hmm.
So some ways we can trust God in, but he said, all your ways acknowledge God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you acknowledge him, that he will, not that he shall, not that he may do it, but he shall direct you so you'll know where to go. Sometimes we want to go, we want things in our lives so fast, but God wants us, he knows certain timing is, and every timing is everything. You know, if you're an athlete, or whatever, you know, timing is everything. So even in life, timing
yes.
is everything. But God knows the timing because he's the one who created time. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
he operates outside of time. We're the one dealing with time. So he already knows the timing that things going to take place. And he demonstrated to Jesus when Jesus came here as a servant. And when his mama at the wedding told him that, listen, they're out of wine. And so Jesus said, hey, what's that got to do with me? My hour has not come yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
we know Jesus could have said, you know, hey, wine be filled with wine and wine would have came. But he's shown discipline where he's waiting on the timing of God and trusting that when the time is right, God is going to use him to do what he needs to do. And as his mother knows in the vein of God, she was able to say, now, whatever he asks y'all to do, y'all go ahead and do it. And as she is saying this, it becomes time. Now listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
When she first asked, it wasn't time yet. But when she finished talking, time was fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus waited on that. He waited on the time and trust God that, okay, now is my time. Now I can tell him, go fill the water by those pots of water. And here go the first miracle. And so we got to do the same thing. We got to wait on God's timing. And when we wait on him and trust him with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding, because Jesus could have said, hey, I can just say, hey, wine be filled or whatever. But he trusted in God and waited on the timing of God. And so a lot of times we shift our faith and move into doubting God and trusting our ability, trusting our cousin who got some money, trusting the lotto, trusting all these other things other than trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
Just right.
And you know what? While you were speaking, what came to mind was when Elijah told the woman to bake him a cake first.
Uh-huh.
And she said, that's all I have left. Now, listen, this is the problem what we have when we go to the man or woman of God and we get the word from them, but we don't act on it because we don't see it. And so the problem is with the world is that we have some of these people out here, these fake prophets and these fake preachers, and all these guys and women are doing stuff that is not of God, who are leading people the wrong way. So when they hear a word of God, the true word of God, they're reluctant to do it. Now, I don't care what nobody says. That woman had every right to be reluctant to hear what that man said. Now, I ain't got but a little bit. And you want me to feed you first? Man, you sound crazy. But she had enough faith. See, like you said, Sister Butterfield, God put enough faith in us, some measure, some great, some small, some little. And so she had enough in her to know that it connected with her spirit when Elijah said, you do what I asked you to do first. Make me a cake first. And then he took a step further. He said, now listen, I need something to eat, but now I'm going to give you something to drink. Then I know that woman said, look, Negro, now you got me to put my last bit of food. Now you want me to give you something to drink, too? I mean, you got to have faith to believe that.
Yeah.
But it has to be something inside of you. So when God has said to you, start that business, or God said you're going to have a child, or God said you're going to be a millionaire, or God said you're going to be the one who subvert your family or convert your family over to Christianity, and you're going to be the one to lead everybody to Christ, believe that. It might take 5, 10, 15 years. Look how long it took David to go from the shepherd to the king. It didn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Joseph when he got thrown in the pit from the time he told him that he was going to be king over them, rule over them. Look how long it took. But I don't care how long it takes. I care. Favor is good. But when favor runs out, faith kicks in. And you can know that what happens is going to happen. Because why? God said.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right about David. Joseph had a lot of reasons to doubt what he dreamt was going to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he got in that pit, that looked like the end. When he got in prison, it looked like the end.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Look at Moses. Moses the same way.
Uh-huh.
You know, Moses told me, I got a stuttering problem. You know, I had a fourth grade education. You know, what I'm going to say to Pharaoh. And then God going to be, look, God got a sense of humor there. This made me laugh. God going to say, go tell the man I say I am. Who is I am? You ain't got a name. He just said what I said. He said, tell him that I am saying. You got to have some, Pastor Butterfield, you got to have some faith to stand up.
Yes.
To tell people what you have been seen and what you believe in you, that if people want to, people think you're crazy when you start telling people what God says. If they don't have Christ in them, they're gonna think you're crazy.
Because they
don't have that in them. See, what happens is that faith has not been activated in them yet because they haven't gave their life to Christ. So therefore, they're going on humanistic things that they've seen and have done. That's why I talk about recurring faith, stuff that happens before it'll happen again because you did the same thing, the same results. Well, we got to get past that. Like you said, Proverbs is a great scripture. We trust in the Lord. But you got to understand, if God said it, it is so.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. We bless
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Thank you so much for bringing forth this word on tonight. Where's your faith? And I want to encourage everyone out there in radio land tonight to know that you have some faith. And he's asking, where is that faith? What are you trusting in? What are you using that faith for?
And not interrupting you, but there's something I wanted to say earlier that your faith is everything that you need. Mm-hmm. And Satan is after your faith. Mm-hmm. He's not after your house, he ain't after your husband, he ain't after your house, your car, he ain't after none of that. He's after your faith. And the thing is that God is wanting to increase your faith. Now, see, there's two things happening to your faith. Satan trying to decrease your faith and God trying to increase your faith. So now the thing is that when trouble come our way, God allowed the trouble to let you have more faith in him, but the devil thinks he's trying to add that trouble to take away your faith.
Right.
And but you got to know that God's faith is everything you need. If you don't have money, if you have some faith, you can get money. If you don't have food, if you don't have whatever you don't have, make sure you got faith. If you have faith, you can have everything you need because God has to move when you have faith. There was no lesson plan or no scripture or anything documented that if you touch the hem of his garment, you're gonna be made whole.
Mm-hmm.
But that lady's faith put that in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "If I should just touch the hem of his garment, I'm gonna be made." She didn't say, "I'm maybe gonna be made whole." She said, "If I touch it." I'm going to be made whole. And when she touched Jesus, the hem, not even him, took the hem of his garment, immediately the Bible says, she was made whole because she believed and she had faith in her own self. And her faith able to speak to her and tell her what's the result of her action, what action to make. The Holy Ghost is so good. He give you the action what to make to get the results you need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's faith.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So we thank God for this word tonight. If your faith is shaky, dig in, get into the word of God, dig in and tell the devil you ain't moving because God's word is true and you believe what God say because God is not a man that he should lie.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So if he said it, you can stand on it because it's going to come to pass. Sure, as the world exists, God's word is going to come to pass. So we thank God for this word tonight. Amen. We praise God for everything tonight. We pray that your faith be increased and whatever you're dealing with, that your faith is the thing that you need to overcome whatever trouble you're in today, whatever disappointment you have, your faith is there to overcome. Help you to overcome whatever you're dealing with. So we thank God for this word.
Amen.
Tonight we give God praise. We give him honor. And we bless your life, man of God. We pray that God bless you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet.
Lord.
Bless your wife. Bless your family, your
Lord.
Household, everything that you touch. We pray that God anoint you, be upon it, and it multiplies exponentially in the name of Jesus. We pray for your health.
Yes.
We pray for your wealth in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want you to tell your neighbors, tell your friends, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light podcast with
Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield.
God bless you.
God bless you.